you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So we've spent the last 20 years of our lives, Jessica and me, with the exception of 3 years of seminary in Pittsburgh, right here in Charleston. We moved to James Island in 2004, then spent 7 years prior to going to seminary in West Ashley. Two of our three children were born here. Two of the three, jokingly. I say sometimes that, you know, Hayes has that birth defect of having been born in Pittsburgh. Kidding. We have family here. We have friends here. Charleston is where I began my relationship with Christ. Though I do have to admit that before moving to John's Island, ashamedly, I knew very little about John's Island. I rarely came here, and usually my travels on John's Island were Maybank Highway to Bohicket Road, en route to Camp St. Christopher on Seabrook. But on June 1st this year, just a couple of weeks ago, I celebrated 6 years of being here with you at St. John's Parish Church. And I can tell you, without a doubt, John's Island has become a great home. We love John's Island. We have set some very firm roots here. Our boys all attend local schools. We love the community here. We're active in the community here. We love John's Island. It's home. We pray it will be home for many, many more years. No matter how long this is home, though, for any of us, whether John's Island has been home for the entirety of your life or you've only been here for a few months, it is still a temporary home. I think this congregation over the last 2 years knows all about temporary dwelling places, don't we? You know, I've often referred to the last 2 years as our time of tabernacling in the wilderness. Though I must confess that if this is wilderness, we're doing okay. Our scripture lessons this morning, our readings today, they allow us to have an eternal perspective on temporary time. Everything in this world is temporal. That doesn't mean it doesn't matter. Everything is temporal, but that doesn't mean it doesn't matter. And it doesn't mean that things in this world can't have eternal value. In Ezekiel's prophecy, we hear about this great and mighty empire. It's the empire of Assyria. An empire with great military power that grew strong and had immense possessions, incalculable wealth. An empire that was envied by other nations, the nations around it, an empire that had certainly built a name for itself. All of that, though, was fleeting. It was temporary from a godly perspective. All of the wealth, all of the power, all of the might that was gained by this institution of humanity was toppled over in the blink of an eye. Taken over by the other nations who envied it. Cast down from their high palace and back into the futile and meaningless caverns of life without hope. Because things of man's ambition, corruption, and greed are always fleeting in God's eternal time. And Paul writes in his second letter to the Christians in the city of Corinth, a city and people known to be pursuing wealth and pursuing many other very worldly things. Paul writes his letter that we know. For we know, he says. And then using the illustrations of his own personal experience as a tent maker, building temporary dwellings, Paul reminds the Corinthians and, of course, us to keep focus on the eternal wisdom of the Lord, not on the fleeting, immoral corruptible lies of the world. We know, he says. We know that this life, that life in this world is temporary. And he says that we know that in this temporal and dangerous life that we will suffer. And we will have a longing for the peace of our heavenly future. This longing is a direct perspective in eternal preparation from God. Paul writes, we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. We groan, being burdened, waiting for this mortal life to be swallowed up. He who prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We walk by faith, not by sight. Beloved, we are of good courage because the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, died for our sins, for our greed, for our ambition, for our selfishness. And he bodily rose on the third day after his death, then ascended back into the glory of heaven for eternity. In this fleeting and temporal world, that is full of corruption, sin, death, and chaos, we have been given the great gift to have an eternal perspective by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who is now guiding us by faith through this time of tabernacling in the wilderness is the same Spirit who guides us individually daily into repentance of our sins, provides us such great hope in every trial of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we may overcome and be of good courage. Eternal perspective moments. I know you've had them. There are times when we must look very hard to see these moments. And there are times when they are incredibly and abundantly clear. The first time I looked into my wife's eyes on our wedding day, still remember the most beautiful girl in the world, an eternal perspective moment. Today's Father's Day, when our three children were born, every one of those times, eternal perspective moments. No matter how temporary or fleeting or cumbersome this life may be, we have those moments that the Lord has provided, that the Lord has so ordained, to know his goodness, to experience joy through groaning, to be of good courage, and to please him with all that we do, all that we say, and all that we practice. We are indeed in a time of temporary tabernacling together as the body of Christ. Though I'm sure that many of you have experienced some of those eternal moments in these last 2 years as a body, but also as individuals. God's faithfulness and triumph through tragedy, loss, suffering, diagnosis, pain, all the trials, relationships falling apart. The Lord, friends, is doing a mighty work here through his Spirit and by his faithfulness. For example, today, this morning, we shared another baptism. What a glory that is. That May has been brought into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, all for God's good intentions. We have many children in this congregation who are learning about God's Word, both through their parents, through so many of you, praise the Lord for that, and through the dedicated Sunday school teachers that we have here. Beloved, these are eternal moments where we see the glory of God through the body of Christ in a temporal world. And although small, we do have some movement in the development of Church Place, our future home. The sign is up and visible. The right-of-way is clear. The permitting process is moving along, but slowly, but it is moving along. In God's grace and in God's timing, we'll have that permit to build the road into the property. We can begin to gather there and bring worship to our God. I'm encouraged this past week by the progress at the parish church in Habersham with our friend, our brother in Christ, Jamie Sosnowski, and the work that's happening down there. God is doing a mighty work there as well. Their walls are up. The church bell was installed this week. What a glory that is. Friends, the world is lost. The world is broken and is quite often a pretty scary place. But we live into the words that Jesus says. He says, "In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." In our sinfulness, in our disobedience, in our greed, in our ambition, there is corruption. In the world, there is corruption. And things that happen should not happen. But as Paul writes in another one of his letters, in a truly eternal perspective, in Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, "What then shall we say of these things? These things that are dangerous and corruptible and terrible. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Eternal perspective. Friends, eternal perspective in a temporal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Amen.